The pre-game interview.
Before the bounce, thanks to the Ponds and Norlane Hotels and Team Tyre Power. Of course, Team Tyre Power, your one-stop shop for all tyres and wheels in Belmont, Drysdale, North Geelong and Torquay. The Hawthorn family have been hit really hard by a pancreatic cancer diagnosis that claimed the life of their 1991 Norm Smith medalist in Paul Deer. Now, from that, Dare to Hope has been established, raising awareness for pancreatic cancer, but it's also impacted the Geelong football family as well. And one of our favourites here, not only when he wore the number 9 in 245 games in the hoops through the 70s and 80s, but also he was a member of the K-Rock football family for over a decade. We knew him also as the talent manager at the Geelong Falcons, and he has gone through his own battle himself, and he's been good enough to join us today. It's been 17 years since he's been in the K-Rock box, but we get him back for a very special reason. Michael Turner, welcome to you.
Yeah, thanks, King. I thought it was about 20, so you're on the mark there, mate. Nice to be back here. Good view.
It is a magnificent view. Sea of purple. Purple scarves, you've got one around your neck. Talk to us about how you got involved with Dare to Hope and your own journey with pancreatic cancer as you battled through most of 2023.
Yeah, well, look, I was aware of the Dare to Hope, and I saw the documentary of Paul Deer, which is pretty confronting for those who haven't seen it. You can get it on KO or SBS On Demand. You know, it's worth having a look. Goes for now, but very, very, very confronting. Aware of it. And then, I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer last February, which I'll go through in a minute. And then through Mike Sheehan, he reached out to me and Cherie Deer, you know, to get involved with this. And then the Hawthorn Football Club have supported it. And now Geelong, through Stephen Hocking and Craig Drummond, have been really good about it because of my own battles to gain more awareness of pancreatic cancer. So they're on board with it, as is the AFL. So it's just one of those things that you want to make people more aware of, and hopefully get some more funding so that they can do some sort of a test or a blood test or something to test for pancreatic cancer, so the diagnosis is early, because a lot of the diagnosis is very late, and when it's late and it's gone into your liver, there's really nothing they can do.
For you though, just take us through how it started for you, and when did you realise there was something wrong with we thought the indestructible Michael Turner?
Well, I didn't have any. As I said, there was no major thing happened to me. I was just a little bit tired for a while, and I just put that down to the fact that I was 69 years of age, and I was doing a lot of surfing, and I was pretty active, and I had a little bit of a pain in my chest, you know, like more of a gastric sort of a pain. And then all of a sudden, one day in February last year, I just turned yellow. So I actually went outside to go to the toilet, and my urine was like Coca-Cola. And I said to my wife, "You better come out and have a look at this." And she said, "Gee, that doesn't look good." And she looked at my eyes, and they were yellow, and pulled my jocks down because I had a good suntan and my skin was yellow. So, you know, I had jaundice, which was the first sign. And what caused the jaundice was that my gallbladder wouldn't drain through my pancreas because of the tumour in it. And you have a build-up in your body of these things called bilirubins, which make you really sick and make you really itchy. So I was at the stage where I was scratching the skin off my body because I was that itchy. And I was hospitalised for that. And when they hospitalised me, they put a stent in so it would drain through my pancreas. So that was the second thing that was done. Now, if you can't have a operation, you will not survive. When you're diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, only 3 people out of 10 survive 12 months. The other 7 die because they can't have an operation. So I ended up having an operation called the Whipple procedure. That's a 9-hour op on the table where they take out all your organs, and then they took out my gallbladder, the top of my intestine, which is your duodenum, and also some membrane, some veins, and also they take all that out and plumb your back, and believe this or not, cut a hole in your stomach, poke your pancreas into your stomach and sew it in so you don't become diabetic, and then sew you up. So that's a big operation, 9 hours, and then all the pathology and testing, which is ongoing, and then I had chemotherapy. So the theory is what happens is the operation gets the tumour out, but then the chemotherapy mops up your blood so that nothing goes around your body and starts another tumour. So I had 7 months of chemotherapy. The first 4 treatments were pretty extreme. I went from 80 kilos down to 63, so I lost 17 kilos. I'm not big, you know.
Yep.
I don't carry weight anyhow. And then completed the last 8 doses. But with pancreatic cancer, you do have a very, very heavy dose, because there's various doses you can have with chemo. But I was on chemo for 3 days out of the 2 weeks. So I was, you know, take a bottle home. There was a port in me. And so I got through all that and got through it all. So now, you know, I'd say I'm back to normal. I feel good. I'm surfing, doing all the things I want. But the survival rate still now, at this stage, believe it or not, is 10% of people survive 5 years. That's how they do their percentages. With breast cancer, it's 94% survive 5 years, and with prostate, I think it's 96% last 5 years. So compared 95% to 10%, it's a very, very poor ratio. So we're looking for better outcomes.
Has it impacted you mentally, Mick? You're pretty... you know, strong-willed sort of character. Has it taken a toll on you mentally, you've been through, or has it given you a different perspective on things? Or?
Oh, look, everyone's different, but in my perspective, I said to all the medical people I spoke to, I had no fear of death. That didn't really worry me. What worried me was losing my quality of life. You know, you don't want to end up lying on the couch for 5 years. That didn't really interest me. I just said to them, look, any decision you make, and I mean, you're the medicos, make it in the best interest of my quality of life, not so much you know, whether I'm going to be alive or not, because I wasn't too interested in that. You know, and that sounds pretty extreme, but that's basically what it was. Have I been anxious about it or stressed about it? Not at all. I think with football helps and different things in your life help. It's just, for me, it's process driven. Right, what's on? Jaundice, next one. Stent, Whipple procedure, you know, pathology, testing, all that sort of stuff. You just go through the process, and you've just got to trust the medicos. I had private health cover, which is something that obviously helped me, and I got to the best medicos and had a really great surgeon, and you go through the process and you just basically trust them. You know, I'm not looking for a magical cure. The cure's already in Australia. We've got the Peter MacCallum Institute and everyone else, and you just it's like everything else, you just got to trust people.
So is it, from what you said before, there's no test you can have. So people will find out too late, or is there anything people can do? Would there be a sign that you, if somebody said to you, I'm experiencing this, go and get yourself checked? Or somebody's listening, what would you be suggesting if they thought there was an issue?
I just think people have got to be pretty diligent these days, and the most important thing is to listen to your body. If there's a change in your body in any way at all, you should get it checked out, and it's not that hard now. You just Google it. You go onto Google and go, if you look up pancreatic cancer or anything like that, it'll tell you what it is. So just Google things. I mean, you've got the technology to do it, and go to your doctor and get a blood test. In the case of pancreatic cancer, there is a marker blood test called a CA19/9. So if you look up pancreatic cancer, that'll come up, and that will give you an indication of, you know, if you have got suspected pancreatic cancer. It's not definitive. So, for example, before my operation, my reading was 750, I think. Normal's 38, and since I've been through all that, my last reading was 30, so I'm under 38. So that does give you an indication, but no one knows about it. It's not put out there, and if you go and have a normal blood test, that's never included in the blood test. They're more about, you know, are you diabetic, and how's your cholesterol going, and how's your liver and your kidneys, and that. It's never something specific at that, but there's a lot of organs in your body, so it's a difficult thing to do.
Speaking with Geelong great Michael Turner, is of course, he's battled pancreatic cancer, and we're here for Dare to Hope and raising awareness around pancreatic cancer. Here's Matty Kershaw on Carrick Footy.
Mick, football's obviously a great platform for some, you know, to do some fantastic things. How important is today for, you know, the community to rally behind and get online and donate? You know, you've mentioned a few things that are really important. It's really, that's the message, isn't it, today, to get in there and, you know, dig deep in your pocket and get that, the viable funds.
Yeah, well, just football's got a massive reach, whether it's K-Rock or, you know, Triple M or whoever, and Channel 7 and the AFL. But Hawthorn have got on board, and, you know, Geelong have too now because of my situation. And the AFL has got unbelievable reach. So, you know, in the room today was Andrew Dillon and obviously Stephen Hawking and Craig Drummond and all the people from Hawthorn. So, look, it has got a lot of reach, and it gets, you can get a lot of publicity done through through football, whereas in other processes, particularly with pancreatic cancer, you've hardly even heard of it. So Dare to Hope has brought it to a certain level, and I think it's now, you know, getting to another level. Not because of me. Cherie Dee is the one that's driven it all. I'm just there to sort of support her, and she's done an unbelievable job.
Yep.
That's one of those things, though, isn't it, Mick, that you've had a profile, you've got a profile. I suppose being able to use that profile to help lift a cause is something that you're keen to do.
Yeah. And look, it's challenging. You know, to go and talk at this President's Lunch today was quite challenging, but, with all the... You know, Michael Tuck's in the room, and, you know, you've got the AFL CEO and every other Tom, Dick and Harry and all the bloody movers and shakers, and you've got to get up there and make a speech. But I think it went okay, and sort of hit everyone up in the room to try and support it. So
exactly.
I don't think I missed anyone.
No.
Have you followed the footy... Former captain of the club, Mick, do you follow the modern day footy?
Oh, no, I do. People ask me that a lot. I don't follow it live. I live in Lorne, so I do follow it on the TV, or if I'm in the car, I'll listen to K-Rock. And that's no rubbish, I do. But it basically followed on the TV. And because I ran the Falcons for such a long time, you know, there's nine extra long Falcons that came through our program with me playing today. One, yep. Only one at Hawthorne, James Warple, and eight of them were at Geelong, like Brian Myers and those blokes. So I tend to follow the ex-Falcons players with an eye to Geelong, because there's so many at Geelong for a start. And, you know, Geelong's your ex-club. We all have issues with our own clubs, you know, unless everything goes right for you. And I've had my issues with Geelong, don't worry about that.
Have you kissed and made up, Michael?
No, look, it's just move on. Like, you know, I still got a great job in football. The Falcons was fantastic, and, you know, I was running the show and I could run it the way I wanted to, and that was a great thing. So, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, nothing ever goes perfectly in your life. You'd like it to, but no, I do. Obviously, I followed Geelong. My father played for them, and I played for them. I'm just waiting for Stephen Hocking to name the outer wing at Geelong, the Leo Turner and Michael Turner wing. Well, I can't believe that hasn't happened yet.
It should happen.
Well, both in the team of the century. Why wouldn't that happen?
Yeah, it should be. Next week, I think.
Because you played on the Brownlow stand wing.
Yeah, a little bit, I suppose.
Who are a couple of players, Mick, in terms of your recruiting that you're most proud of? Maybe not the most high profile, but a couple of kids who did it tough, who have maybe carved out or are carving out pretty good careers at AFL.
Well, not playing was Luke Delhouse. He was very close to not getting drafted because there was a bit of a knock on his kicking. And AFL recruiters, as you know, are very conservative. They want everyone to be perfect, including Luke Hodge, which they're not. But Luke Delhouse was a great story. Yep. He was not invited to the AFL Draft Combine and not even to the State Combine. And through Kevin Sheehan, I got him a testing there. And, you know, and the rest is history. He became a premiership player with the Bulldogs and played for Geelong. So he's a great story. Luke, very proud of him. And Cameron Ling's the other one. Cameron was very close to missing the draft. He wasn't the athletic type back in those days. Played football for the Falcons. And in his second year, when he missed the draft, a 17-year-old, we played him more as a ruck rover. You know, centre-half forward, centre-half back ruck rover type. And he got drafted, thank God. And, you know, I always knew he would work his backside off, he become successful, which he did. And he became a really good run with tagging player and a premiership captain. So he's a great story as well. But, you know, like, no kid at 18 or 17 is perfect. Even when Luke Hodge got drafted, there was knocks on Luke Hodge, you know. And it's just, it's unbelievable. But, you know, I was always looking at the positive side of players, and AFL clubs were sort of more inclined, I think, to look on the negatives and why you don't draft and rather than why you should. So, but it's even harder on kids these days, because it's not about the athletic stuff now. It's also about their attitude. AFL clubs don't want to take the risk.
Here comes Tom Hawkins, born of the soul of Finley to the plains of Cadinia Park. One of the greatest cats of all, a giant from dawn to dark. Here he comes. He'll be greeted by the three children, and he will take his three kids through the banner. And I see his dad, Jack, there as well. He'd be very proud. 182 games himself for the Cats, of course, played alongside you, Michael.
Quite a bit with Jack, wouldn't you, Mick?
Yeah, when I got to Geelong, Jack was there. He was at Marcus Oldham College. He played a year or two before me. And unfortunately with Jack, when Geelong were going really well in the early 80s with Billy Goggin, his knees went on him. And that was really unfortunate. But Jack was a great player, and I had a lot of fun with Jack. I haven't seen him for a long time. And Tom coming through Melbourne Grammar and also the Sandringham Dragons, it was father and son back in those days, and you could give up your last pick to get the father and son. So he was a cheap pick for Geelong. But Jack asked me at the time, he said, "How's Tom going?" I said, "Mate, he's the number one draft pick. There's no one in this pool better than your son, Tom. And if it was a normal draft, he'd be the number one draft pick." And he's, you know, he's been a multiple premiership player and a 350-game player. So that's the truth of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Michael, great to see you.
No worries, boy.
Yeah, fantastic.
I think we all rode the battle with you when we found out that you were unwell, and we're all very much behind you. And daretohope.com.au to donate and find out more information, do that right now. But great to see you. Good luck with what's to come. Obviously, as you talk about the 5 years, you know you're not out of the woods. There's some work to do, but we look forward to staying in touch as much as we can. And great to have you back in the K-Rock box. It's been a long time.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate
good work,
it,
Mick.
Michael
Thanks,
Turner
boys.
Joining us on K-Rock Footy.
The pre-game interview.